Blog Talk Radio.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can
do it. Come on, let him know.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can do it. I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell them.
Here I am. Here I am.
This evening, thank you for tuning in to another broadcast with Kingdom Builders International. We're excited tonight about what God is doing and has done in our lives. This is Prophetess Teresa Dox, and I'm here tonight to host the broadcast, the monthly broadcast. Hopefully it'll be more than monthly, but we want to thank you for tuning in and being faithful to the things of the kingdom. You know, it's all about kingdom building. It's all about building up the name of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you tonight to get your Bibles out, get your pads, get your ink pens, sit at the table, and eat the word. I would like to just thank you once again. We have Apostle Dwayne Brooks with us tonight. We're excited about the men of God. We're excited about what God is doing in his life, and even for his ministry, what God had put to his hands to do. So we just want to ask all our listeners via phone lines, internet, to keep Pastor Brooks and the ministry lifted up before the Lord, because he has given himself away to be used by God. So I want to thank you for tuning in. The boards are filling up. Get ready, because there's a special meal prepared for you tonight, a special meal, and eat, because the feast of the Lord is going on. And as the word goes forth, I just want to encourage you to take the engrafted word and be ready in and out of season to pour into someone else, so that the word can go forth again and again and again. Apostle Brooks, I thank you for tuning in. Truly a man of God, I want to lift you up with a word of prayer. And again, I truly thank you for just being sold out for the things of God.
Amen.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you for who you are. We give you honor and glory, Lord God. We adore you. We love you, Lord God. Our life belongs to you. And, Father, we ask you right now that you would just touch the man of God, your son, Lord God, Apostle Dwayne Brooks, that you would literally touch him with a finger of your divine love, Lord God, that you would use him as an epistle for the kingdom, for you, Lord God, that you would speak through his mouth, Father, and as your word go through him, Lord God, that it would penetrate the gates of hell, and it would allow, Lord God, dead bones, dry bones, yes, to live, to come together again. Let the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, let it come through him, Lord God. Let it permeate everything that he says. Let it penetrate the minds of the listener, Lord God, as they are calling in, as they have called in, and even as they're tuning in on the internet, Lord God. You said your word would go through every corner of the earth. And, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you're making it possible, Lord God, for this to come forth in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, and I cover the man of Jesus with the blood of Jesus that will never, ever lose his power. And, Father, we thank you as you speak through him. Father, rock this world, Lord God, through your man of God. In the name of Jesus, I pray and I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I say amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Apostle Brooks. We yield to you. Have your way. Let God use you.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. I thank you, prophetess. It is truly a blessing once again to be able to allow the Lord to use his humble servant on this day. For this is the day he has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. Here we sit on the beautiful shores of Lake Michigan in Chicago, where we're having a beautiful snowstorm. And even though we know the world has its many problems, God is still in control. So we'd like to send out, first of all, a blessing to all who have turned in. I speak peace, I speak love, and I speak bountifulness into your life in the name of Jesus. I'm certainly privileged to be here, and we are prepared through the Holy Spirit to speak on a particular subject that most of us probably have done but didn't realize what we was doing. So hopefully we can impart to you some important information that would allow you to even be more equipped to serve our Father in heaven. Let me pray also. Father, in the name of Jesus, once again, I come humbly but boldly before the throne. I thank you for the privilege and opportunity, Father, to be called your child. Now use me in the mighty name of Jesus to speak those oracles from heaven's gate, that the world shall be understanding more of you. Let me decrease that you might increase. Holy Spirit, empower me right now with wisdom and knowledge far beyond my understanding. And, Lord, just open up hearts and minds. We bind the enemy over the airwaves right now that they can receive and not be cumbersome. We break chains and fetters and tear down strongholds. And I speak with authority and power that have been given to me as a called apostle of God in such a time as this that we'll speak the truth. Father, I thank you right now for this privileged opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we talked last week about eschatology. Eschatology, of course, we said that it was the end times warning for his people. It speaks of end times through the word of Daniel, Matthew in the 24th chapter, and, of course, Revelation. But there were some eschatologies that we're going to talk about, if I could use that, over the next few months that we're allowed, in Jesus' name, to come over the airways. And so next week will be theology. This week is Christology, and I'll get right into our lesson in a minute, but I want to run through this. We'll be going through theology proper or proteriology, which is the study of God the Father. For pneumatology is the study of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Bibliology is the study of the Word of God. Soteriologically is the study of the work of Jesus Christ. And Christian anthropology is the study of the nature of humanity. Harmatology is the study of nature and effects of sin. Angelology is the study of angels, of course, hallelujah, and Christian demonology is the study of demons. And ecclesiology is the study of nature and the mission of the church. But tonight, we'll be talking about an exciting word, Christology. Well, have we heard the word? Do we use it much in church? Have we went over it in Bible study? Is my question to all. Probably not. Very few times have I brought it up in my own Bible studies, and it's a miss of my part. That's why I'm taking time out now to let us know how important it is for us to understand the word Christology. First of all, what is Christology? We come to mind to say, what is something? When we ask what is something, we have to go further than just our own intellect. We must refer to people who have written prior to our understanding, or those through historicity that have added the words knowledgeable enough that we can understand what a particular subject is. Tonight, what is Christology? The word Christology comes from two Greek words meaning Christ or Messiah and Word, which combine to mean the study of Christ. Christology is the study of the person, not the work of Jesus, but the person of Jesus Christ. Soteriology is the study of the work of Christ. But tonight we're going to be concerned with Christology. Who is Jesus Christ? Is Jesus God? What is the hypostatic union? Why is the virgin birth so important? And what does it mean that Jesus is the Son of God? All those things talk about the personage of Jesus, which is Christology. Oftentimes we sit in Bible studies and we pick out a particular scripture or pericope and we exegete it from what we want to understand or what our pastors or teachers are teaching us about that particular scripture. I'd like to tell you everything in the Bible is about Jesus the Christ, from Genesis to Revelations. It's about the work of Christ, the creation by Christ, or Christ's ultimate return. The Bible was written for us to understand who Christ was in his personage. Jesus, yes, God, yes, and the Holy Spirit, yes. But tonight we're going to talk about the person of Jesus Christ, Christology. Who is Jesus? First of all, we go to Bible study and we learn about the words and all that, but who is Jesus the person? Jesus is almost in every religion teaches that Jesus was a prophet, or a good teacher, or a godly man. The problem is, the Bible tells us that Jesus was infinitely more than a prophet, a good teacher, or a godly man. The Bible definitely teaches that Jesus is God in the flesh. If we refer to John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." It gives us the Logos, which became alive to us, which means the Word of God that came alive. So Jesus is more than a prophet. He is the prophet of prophets. And if we read in Hebrews, it says he's the chief apostle, which means all of us are under apostolic covering, whether we know it or not. Because if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and he's the chief apostle, which makes us all under apostolic authority. Amen. So who is Jesus Christ? He is God in the flesh. He's the Messiah. He's the King of Kings. So when you know who something is, it's easier to study about what he is and the works that he does. So when you understand the personage of Jesus, it'll make us more aware of what we're studying and why we're studying it. Again, a biblical understanding of Jesus Christ is crucial to our salvation. Many cults and world religions claim to believe in Jesus Christ. They do. The problem is that they do not believe in Christ as presented in the Bible, in the Holy Bible, the unadulterated Word of God, the KJV, the King James Version. I don't knock other versions of the Bible because it gives us a better understanding of some of the words that may be hard to understand or the historicity or etymology of that particular word. But I like the King James Version because it keeps it in such an impactful way that it gives us the full understanding that the writers wanted us to have. The writer, the Holy Spirit. So we have to believe Jesus Christ as presented in the Bible. That's why Christology is so important. It helps us to understand the significance of the deity of Christ. We'll get into the deity of Christ in a minute. I just wanted to give you some outlines of just what we're attempting to understand and certainly trying to teach you tonight. that we can come out of just reading the Bible and accepting scriptures as they are, which we should, but understand it was written for the person it's and who Jesus Christ is. If it demonstrates why Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. There's more things that took place on the cross than just salvation, believe it or not. And we're going to get into some of the other things that transpired on the cross, as far as we know the person is the Christology of Jesus the Christ. Christology teaches that Jesus had to be man so that he could die. So the humanity part of Jesus is just as important as the deity part of Jesus Christ, knowing who he is in the flesh and who he is in the spirit. Help me, Jesus, to teach tonight. And he had to be God so that his death would pay for our sins. And what a heavy price he had to pay. If we remember in the garden that he asked that the cup will be removed from him. But he said, if not your will, let your will be done, Father. And can you imagine a cup full of all of our sins? Just mine alone would fill the cup. But he had to be a God so that he could take away the sins of the world, which is why he came in the first place. It's down through 42 generations that he might be able to deliver us from our own selves. It is perhaps the most important area of theology, the study of who God is with us. Without a proper understanding of who Jesus Christ is and what he has accomplished, all other areas of theology will be errant as well. So we would be amiss if we didn't understand the whole part about Jesus as his deity and being God also. An in-depth study of Christology has incredible personal impact on our daily lives. When we begin to understand the person of Jesus, and before this talk is over, I have four good reference books. If you read one of them, it'll give you a little more understanding about the person of Jesus. We're talking about the person of Jesus Christ tonight, Christology. A study of his daily life, what transpired with him as a man and being God here on earth. And that's an astounding fact to me that God walked the earth in the human flesh, and yet he had to be tempted just as we are. He had some of the same problems of life that we do, but yet he was able to overcome them so that he could show the example to us that we can be overcomers as in the flesh. The question came to me, but he was still God, so he couldn't be tempted. Well, anytime you're in the flesh, you can be tempted. Amen. It's whether you choose to let yourself be drawn into that temptation or not. One of the greatest gifts that God ever gave man is that you have a choice. Nothing else has a choice that he created but man. Man has a choice to do and be what he wants to be. And God chooses us to be followers of him if we like to be, and we have that choice. He don't want automatons. He can make everybody follow him, but he don't want robots. He wants people that love him enough, that trust him enough, that are compelled to what he has done for us enough, that we would understand who we are in him and love him enough to be his servants. Amen? As we believe in the heart of Jesus Christ, we begin to grasp the amazing concept that he is being fully man and fully God. He loves each of us with a never-ending love to the extent of which it's hard for us to imagine that someone loves us that much. He's concerned about every iota of your life, every problem, every breath in and every breath out. In fact, the absolute threshold, which is the one that you can receive something through your subconscious mind without your conscious mind knowing about it, is so important because Jesus knows everything that goes in. But you know what? It's not what defiles a man what comes in, but what comes out. So if you've got God fully in, then guess what? That's what's going to come out. So many times our flesh is hallelujah on Sunday, but when we get out of church, we have different language. But we have to understand, if we fully love God and understand the Christology of him and his personage, we must be characters of him all the time. We must be God-like. Somebody might see you and understand that you're the only Jesus that they might see. Amen? And you might be the one person that can be used to talk to that in particular person, because everybody here was given a mission, and your mission is to go ye. You can go ye to the market, you can go ye to the store, you can go wherever, but you can go ye and tell somebody about how good God is. The various title and names of Jesus Christ in scriptures gives us insight into who he is and how he relates to us. He is our good shepherd, leading, protecting, and for caring for us as one of his own. That is displayed in John 10:11 through 14. He is the light of the world, illuminating our pathway through sometimes dark and uncertain world. And sometimes when things seem dark, and I don't just mean in the illumination part, just dark in our worries and our cares of the world. And sometimes things can get so bad that we think that we can't make it and that we don't have no way out. But I read somewhere in the scriptures where God says he doesn't have you any place that he can't reach. The arms of God are much longer than we can realize because he is the light, illuminating our pathway through sometimes dark and uncertain things in our life, according to John 8:12. He is the Prince of Peace. And you know, in a world that's so full of turmoil and killing and hatred and backbiting and gossip and I don't careism and it's me, we need to understand that he'll give us peace beyond our understanding. And when we understand the peace of God, we understand the joy of God. He says, my yoke is easy and my burdens of light. And we carry so many things through life, so many times they burden us down and we forget who God is. But if you trust him and you believe in him and you rest in him, you understand that he is the Prince of Peace, as it says in Isaiah 9:6, bringing tranquility into our tumultuous lives, bringing that tranquility where you think you couldn't have peace. And somebody will look at you one day and say, you know, I thought you had a problem. Well, I do have a problem, but I got a problem solver. I'll preach here in a minute. Because he is our rock, according to 1 Corinthians 10:4. The immovable and secure base who can trust to keep us safe and secure in him, irregardless of whatever we're going through. And that's some of the persons of Christ. Christology is our topic, but the love of God is our destiny. Is Jesus God? Did Jesus ever claim to be God? Although Jesus never uttered the words, I am God, he made many statements that can be properly interpreted to mean just that. Amen? What other questions would we come up with? What is the hypostatic union? How can Jesus be both God and man at the same time? The Bible teaches that Jesus is both fully human and fully divine. That's part of the persons. That's part of the Christology of the Bible, that there's no mixture or dilution of either nature, and that he is one united person forever. In fact, I understand he's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the teacher says, I am the Father's one, and anyone who's connected to the vine are with us. Oh, I think I heard a few amens right there. When we understand who Jesus really is and his person is, it'll give us a far better understanding of the word that we read about him oftentimes when we open our Bibles. And I know we're opening our Bibles. Why is the virgin birth so important about the persons of Christ? The virgin birth is a crucial biblical doctrine because it accounts for the circumvention of the transmission of the sin nature and allows the eternal God to become a perfect man. Let me read that again, because in writing it, it was a revelation to me, and I just want us to make sure that we know why the virgin birth was so important. It was important and crucial to biblical understanding and doctrine because it accounts for the circumvention of the transmission of the sin nature and allowed the eternal God to become a perfect man. Hallelujah. What does it mean that Jesus is the Son of God? And we know we go through this all the time because most people will say that he can't be. There's a few religions that said he is, no way could he be the Son of God. And how could he be God and the Son and pray to the Father? Was he praying to himself? But let me give you this analogy that I often tell people about the Trinity. If man can make a candy bar, let's take Snickers. That's chocolate, caramel, and peanuts, and it's one, but has different flavors. How great and how much more can God do? Amen? If man can be three in one, you know God can be three in one at the same time, and he got them different flavors for everyone, which means they just have a different job for us. Amen? Jesus is still God. God is still Jesus and the Holy Spirit in his work. Jesus is God's Son in the sense of how we think of Father-Son relationship. Not like that, because we are thinking with our minds, and our minds can't conceive some of the things that God's mind can. So it's not the same type of father-son relationship. God did not get married and have a son. Jesus is God's son in the sense that he is God made manifest in the human form, according to John 1:1. Amen? So we need to start understanding those things about the persons of God, which gives us a better feel of the word of God when we're studying. Amen. So Christology becomes an important part of Christian lives when we start to study the Bible. But we don't often stop and think. And if there's pastors and ministers that are listening tonight, I'd like for us to start teaching more about the person of Christ. And that would give our parishioners or those who are, we're trying to teach a better understanding of the Word of God and its purpose. Christology. Biblical references to Christology come in many forms. There's no biblical use of the word Christology, but Christology derived from two Greek words, Christos meaning Christ and Logos meaning word. And we know that it's now that it's the study of the person of Jesus Christ, distinct from any other thing except for the person who created all, and that's God. Amen? Christology addresses the issues of Jesus being both God and man, being such an incarnation. Scripture has abundant references both to the deity and humanity of Jesus, of which we'll go over to the scriptures in a few minutes. I hope you're getting your pens and papers down, being relatively ready to receive them. Christology really attempts to correlate and explain how Jesus could be both God and man in the same person. Some reference to Jesus' deity, his preexistence, that he is a creator. So those things will let us know that about he's the sustainer, he's the source of life, he's the reveler of God in Matthew 11 and 27, he's the son of God in Mark 1 and 1, he's identified in God, as God in John 5 and 18, he's the I am in Mark 14 and 62, he's part of the Trinity in Matthew 28 and 19, he is the Holy One in Mark 1 and 24. He is the object of our faith in Mark 8 and 34 through 38. He forgives sins according to Matthew 9 and 6. He's our Savior according to Matthew 1 and 21. He is our Lord according to Luke 2:11 and Revelation 17 and 14. He's preeminent according to Ephesians 1 and 20. Thank you, Jesus. He is the judge according to Matthew 7 and 21. He's worshiped, as in Acts 7:55 through 59. Some references to his humanity are just as important as references to his deity when we're studying the Christology of Jesus, the personage. His genealogy is important, according to Matthew 1 and 1, both as an infinite in Matthew 2 and 1, and in human flesh, Luke 24 and 39. He is tangible, according to Colossians 2 and 9. Development and his growth are recorded in Luke 2 and 40. He has human senses, according to Matthew 4 and 2. He has emotions, according to Matthew 9 and 36. He has temptations, according to Matthew 4 and 1. He prays, according to Matthew 14 and 23. His derivative of his activity points to his humanity, according to John 8 and 28. He had a death in the flesh, according to John 19 through 30. He is the Son of Man, according to Mark 8 and 38. He is a man, according to Acts 2 and 27. Some of these references become a man in the incarnation of Jesus. That's in John 1 and 14. He says the Word was God. And we understand that the Christ, according to the flesh, because Galatians 4 and 4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. Hallelujah. And Philippians 2, 5 and 8 says, Christ Jesus existed in the form of God, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being made the likeness of men, found in appearance as a man. Hallelujah. So we understand a lot of these things about his persons are recorded in Scripture. And when we look at him singularly, as just pointing to what Christ is, we understand more about his personage. A Bible history of Christian discussion concerning Christology and his incarnation. The Greek Gnosticism suggested that Jesus was only appeared to be human. Ebionites, Jewish Christians, asserted that Jesus was fully human and Holy Spirit descended upon him at baptism, adoptionism. There are so many things that point to the deity of Jesus Christ, and so many different religions have a different opinion about who Christ is. That's why we have our scriptures as the ultimate reference point. The Council of Nice in 325 affirmed that Jesus was fully God and fully man. Amen. Apollinarius in 310 and 380 posted that the human rational soul of Jesus was replaced and had a divine logos in the single nature. Gregory of Narcissism stated, the unassumed is the unhealed. Amen? But we understand who God is through all these men that had opinions about what it was. And see, when you have an opinion, that comes from the flesh. But when you have a revelation, thank you, Jesus, that comes from the Holy Spirit. So when we read the Bible and understand the persons of Christ, we need the Holy Spirit to reveal the exact truth to us so it doesn't come to us as an opinion but as a revelation. What is meant by God and man? Identifying God, the Word of God, the Son of God, and God the Father. All those things identify who God is with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the deity, the divinity, the Godhead. You can identify his manship in the flesh, the physical embodiment, the human form, the human as an individual, the humanity at large, the human race. He said, I thirst on the cross. That's a human, that's a fleshly thing. But he also has spiritual meanings to I thirst. Amen? How can I identify the humanity and it still be unified? Attributes and the functions appear mutually antithetical if you look at them. God is infinite, he's eternal, he's omnipresent, he's spiritual, he's not visible, he's not temptable, he's not mortal, he's independent, he's autonomous man, he's finite, he's temporal, space-time, there's no limitation, and no tangibilism. He's visible? No. Is he temptable? Yes. Jesus is. He's dependent, and he's derived from a different dependence that he goes through. Through Creator, created God? No. Jesus was created with, because he was with God all the time. And he created everything that there is. So him being a creation could not have created himself. And that's what gives him his deity. Other religions think that God came here in the flesh, just like all the rest of us, which takes away everything that God is in the flesh. How is it that two can become one? Well, identifying the two-ness is this. What is commonly of God and man? What is common of God is different than what is common of Jesus in the flesh. Identifying the oneness is their person, their nature, their distinction, and their embodiment. What type, how did this union form, and why was it necessary? Well, you know, I tell people all the time, God does not do anything that he has not completed before he presents it to man or to us. You are even completed before God created you. You was completed. He knows he can count every hair on your head. So when he placed heaven and earth here on this planet, don't you understand that it was already completed? So when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, there was a plan already. And that plan was Jesus Christ. And that's why he said, Father, I'll go down. He knew from the beginning of time that this was going to take place. Wow, they say, well, why would God let evil come into the world? Ah, he did not let. That's a misnomer. He did not let. Man's choice allowed it to come in. Prior to that, God and man had a walking relationship. He said he talked to Adam in the cool of the garden. After that, he said, Adam, where art thou? He couldn't find him. Adam had ran off because he knew he had committed a sin. But the thing is, the relationship between God and man changed at that particular time. Don't think that Adam and Eve caught God off guard because he was well prepared for what was taking place. That's why Jesus was already knew that he was going to have to come down and die for our sins and relinquish his throne next to God. But he also knew that he would be able to return to him through much pain, through much agony, through much human problems that Jesus had to go through. That's the humanity side. So when we study Christology, we must understand from the beginning, as in John 1 and 1, to the end, how much God had to sacrifice in order for him to have his son here. The only time that Jesus and God was separated through all history is when he bowed his head and relinquished the ghost on Calvary's cross. And that's why the earth had to shake for the first time in history. God and his son, the humanity, were separated. The spirituality, they were separated. Why? Because at that particular point, the person of Jesus took on the sins of the world, and God cannot look up on sin no matter who has it. even though his son had took on the sins of the world, at that particular point, he had to turn away. And the earth shook and was rent. There was earthquakes. And all those things happened because of the separation, which was symbolized in the temple when the curtain was rent from the bottom up and the temple shook and it split in half. It symbolized all the things that had taken place because of the separation from God and his son, Christology. It's a necessary balance between the two because God and Jesus are the epitome of love. And the epitome of love is that we know in the Word, the most famous scripture that probably is that for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we know in the study of the person of God, realize that there's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The word Trinity may not be mentioned in the Bible, such as the word rapture is not mentioned, but it explains it in detail. If you read the Bible and understand it, we'll all know that there is a rapture. There is a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And sometimes they ask the question, did God really become man? That's not a biblical statement. Is the statement overly inclusive? Or is it just for some that wanted to believe that God did exactly what he said, and some said he couldn't do what he said because he can't be flesh and spirit at the same time? Listen, relax. Read the Bible. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. And know the truth. It says, because the truth shall set you free. The coronation of the Trinitarian Christology considerations are this. There's one. Three in one of the Trinity sets up the two in one in Christology. The sequence of unity and union considerations, the Trinity, essential divine unity. Christology, integral personal union. Christian and Christ, indwelling identificational union. The alternative responsive to Christology incarnation are rejected as unreasonable. And you know, some people really always want to sugarcoat our Jesus. I heard some of another faith, and I don't knock any man for what he believes, but he was a good man. He's a good prophet. And that just rejects who God really is. Yeah, he was a prophet. We understand that. But he was more than a prophet. He is our Savior. He is God. He is exactly what he says he is in through the study of Scripture. And when we reduce it to human reasoning by attempting to resolve his atonements, his deity, his godlike, or any other thing about his nature spiritually, we really just deluding who Jesus really is. And we must accept the revelation of God concerning Christology and who Jesus is. He's an infinite resource of all that we need to know as we understand and read who Jesus really is. And it's so important in our life that we know who Jesus is, because when we fail to understand who he is in his person, we can't understand his words. Sometimes I think that's why a lot of us don't get deep into the Bible, because sometimes we don't have the whole understanding of who Christ the person is, if I could lay that on you. And some of our references today, I gave you earlier for scriptures, and I told you that there's no biblical meaning for Jesus being in Christology, but we have a lot of reference of who he is and studying him as his person. It just doesn't mention that word in the Bible, as it does not so many other words that we need to understand. But we understand that Christology is the study of person. Eschatology gives us the understanding of end times with Christ. And what we need to know, the attributes and functions appear mutually sometimes between God and Jesus. He's infinite, but when he was man, he was finite. When he's God, he's eternal. When he was Jesus, he was temporal. He's omnipresent as God, and he has a space-time limitation as Jesus. And when he's in spirit, in God, but in when he was man, he was tangible. And in God, he's not visible. In Jesus, we could see him. And in God, he was not temptable, but he could be tempted. And as God, he's not mortal. In the flesh, he was mortal. As God, he's independent. But in Jesus, he was dependent, and he was derivative on some of things. But God got all by himself. And when we understand the nature of God, and when we understand the persons of God, when we understand exactly who Jesus is in Scripture, it will allow us to go beyond our normal understanding and reach down in Scripture and say, oh, this is written about one thing, God, the work of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Even though Paul wrote so many books of the Bible, it all talked about one thing. Because he had a Damascus Road experience, it all related back to who Jesus is as a person. Paul had a great understanding of the persons of Jesus Christ. And we sometimes have a hard understanding. It's hard for us to understand who Jesus is as far as being God in the flesh. A good part that you could understand when he first was baptized. He said, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. Immediately Jesus went and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine? But he was hungry, which means that's the human part of him. And understand that the human part of him did yet hunger and thirst. So I would like to kind of round this off by telling you, understand this. Start looking at the persons of Christ, Christology of Christ when you read scriptures. And here's some good books for your reference. There is one I know of called The Short Life of Christ. Another is Four Gospels, One Jesus. And another is called The Bounding Life of Jesus the Christ. And another one is Jesus, The Greatest Life of All by Charles Swindoll. All of those will give us an idea of the persons of who Jesus Christ is. A good illustration of the integral personal union of God and man is the Christological Incarnation. It starts like this, God, Word, and Son. In the middle will be Jesus Christ, and at the bottom will be man, flesh, and humanity. Fully, fully God, yet fully, fully man, the Son of Man, the reference to his and who he is. Well, God bless you. I'm not going to try to be too long-winded tonight. I want to give you opportunity to call in and understand who it is and what it is and what we're talking about. We have some exercise in attempting to understand Christology, to who and to what. To persons, to beings, the nature, and the distinction, and how he is the Word of God, and yet he's the flesh. He's the Son of God in the physical body. He's the second person of the Godhead for mankind. He is the deity, and he's a human being, divine essence, yet he is a human person. He has divine substance, yet he has human substance. He has a divine nature, and he has a human nature. He has a divine form, and he has a human form. He is part of the Godhead. But yet he's individual. He's a part of Godhead, and he's distinct personality. He's part of the Godhead, and he has a human nature, and yet he's still God. Well, God bless you. We've had about 45 minutes of talking about Christology, and I hope I haven't ran on, but my main purpose is to teach us something new, to reveal something new to each and every one of you that would have the opportunity to go now and find out some facts. I hope you wrote down the names of the books that I gave you to reference. The best one, I think, is Jesus, The Greatest Life of All by Charles Swindoll. It'll give you an abounding of information about Christology, the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If any of you have questions or like to call in and ask anything, now would be a good time. If we could, Prophetess, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hallelujah. All right, well, we want to give people a chance to call in if they will. We hope that something was said or done tonight that will reveal a new word in our vocabulary through Christology and the study of the persons of Christ. Amen?
Amen. Amen. The lines are now open. Is there any comments, any questions that anyone may have for the man of God? Amen. If you have a background sound on your, you know, in your room where you are, can you please just mute your lines out, please?
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Hello?
Amen. Yes.
Hi, Granddad?
Yes.
Hey, Granddad.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Did you learn anything tonight?
No, I kind of caught it at the last minute.
at the last minute. Well, I tell you what, when you come over, I'll have to sit you down and reteach you. But we talked about Christology, which is just the study of the person of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you for your call.
I love you, Granddad.
I love you, too, and thanks for calling. Here.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
And also, she can go on the Internet. If she has the Internet, you can go into the website and you can listen to your grandfather on demand on the website, www.blogtalkradio.
Amen.
And you'll be able to hear the whole teaching.
Look, check it out, man.
Amen. Now, is there anyone else on the lines? The lines are, there's quite a few people on the line. Is there anyone that would like to have a comment?
They was like, you know, all right, we're opening the lines now, you know.
I hear somebody talking.
Amen. The lines are open, so if you have a background sound, please try to mute your lines out if you don't have anything you want to say openly on the line.
God bless you.
Hello. Hello.
Greetings. Hi, I greet you in the presence of my Jesus. This is Pastor Niagara Craig, Pastor Apostle Brooks, and
hello,
Prophet.
How are you? Well, we're fine, and God bless you. Did you receive any of the message tonight?
To God be the glory. It was very well administrated. To God be the glory, and I really enjoyed every bit from the beginning to the end, even the prayer that the prophet is prayed earlier in your prayer. To God be the glory. I pray that the ministers also that heard the word and the pastors will begin here every now and then to remind the saints, the babes in Christ, exactly what you touched on.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And you know I love you, mighty woman of God. I do tell the family and everyone that we will be here. I know every third Friday. And one of these third Fridays, I want you to help me out. But we'll talk about that later. I thank you so much for listening and for your comment. And to God be the glory if we learned anything together tonight. Amen?
Yes, amen. I'm not sure, but I actually passed on the word to quite a few. So I'm not sure along the line, but I pray that there were others that came and heard too.
Well, thank you so much, and God bless you, and hope to see you soon. Kiss all for me here.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Take care. Peace be with all of you.
You too. All right.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow, that was wonderful. It did reach some, and I'm glad. You know, if it just reaches one, then to God be the glory.
Amen. And Apostle, I always say, a good meal, when you look at the table, it's all gone. So with this good meal, everybody's full and no one has anything to say. But they are still on the line. So the lines are open.
Okay.
And we do still have the man of God on the line. If you have any comments, anything you would like to say, please do so at this time. If there's any prayer requests.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hello?
Amen. 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 Okay, I
hear
background sound.
Yeah, I can hear them in the background, but apparently they're not.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Praise the Lord. How are you?
Minister Battle.
Well, hello, Minister Battle. How are you?
I'm fine. Are you, Pastor?
All right.
I just want to thank the prophetess for allowing my pastor to share his word and his work, which he shares with us every Sunday and Wednesday nights in Bible study. He is an awesome man of God, and we thank God for him.
Amen. Well, God bless you too, Minister Battles, and we thank God for Apostle Brooks. There's so much that God has in store for him, and we're honored to have him on the line with us.
Mm. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you,
Jesus. And I appreciate it.
I have one question for you tonight, Minister Battle.
Yes, sir.
I have a question. Did you learn anything, my sister?
Always. Always.
Well, then God, to God be the glory. Well,
yes,
we thank
sir.
God for that, because my purpose is to make sure that we learn something every day. The more we learn about God, the more we can be like Him. And I
yes,
thank
sir.
You for your obedience, and I thank you for your faith. Tell everybody say hello and give them a kiss for me here.
I sure will. God bless.
God bless. Hallelujah. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
He's such a wonderful Savior.
Well,
wonderful.
If there's no other comments at this time, I would just like to cover you with a word of prayer. But before I do so, I would like to just extend the call of salvation. You know, understanding Jesus Christ is crucial to our salvation.
Yes,
it's crucial. And as the man of God went forth and talked about how important it is to know about Jesus Christ, Christology, it is so important that we understand how the understanding, how to teach what Jesus want us to teach. So it's important that we listen and understand so that we can regurgitate it to others.
Hallelujah.
So that's why these lines are open. And we just want to just say, if there's anyone on the line via internet, if you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sin, if you don't know that Jesus loves you, if you don't know that Jesus will forgive you, if you don't understand that you can be saved by just repenting from your sin and accepting Jesus in your life as the Son of God and admitting that He died and rose again, He didn't stay dead. It is that simple for you to be in the family of God. So we grant this opportunity to you, and it's the sole reason why these lines are here, so that you can come to Christ, so that you can have a closer walk with God, so that you can understand the full understanding of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
We give ourselves away for you, for your soul. For you to be able to stand when the wind blow.
Thank you,
to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And telling the enemy, I will not be moved.
Thank you, Lord.
So we want to encourage you tonight, if you accepted Jesus tonight, we partner with you. You can go to our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International, or you can go to our website, www.kingdomdaughters.org. Click on the comment tab. If you don't have a Bible, we'll be honored to send you one. We want your soul saved. And we join in with the angels. If you did so, we're rejoicing. We're rejoicing. And if you want to contact Apostle Brooks, you can send him an email at revbro423@aol.com. That's redbra423@aol.com. Send him a note and let him know that you appreciate him. Send him a note and even sow into his ministry. I want to encourage you to just begin to sow into the men and women of God's life so that the word of God can go forth.
Yes, Lord.
So we encourage you tonight to dig in deeper. Deeper.
Hallelujah.
For change.
My Lord.
Well, Father God, we thank you for Apostle Brooks.
Hallelujah.
I cover him once again with the blood of Jesus. Everything that he have poured out, Father, refresh, renew, replenish him, Lord God. Allow the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead to cause him to continue to live in abundance with divine health over him, Lord God. Keep him in all of his ways, Father. Keep your angels encamped around him, Lord God. Cause those in his ministry, Lord God, to love on him like never before. Cause the unity, Lord God, that he talked about, Lord God,
Please,
to overtake
Thank you, Jesus.
Not just him, not just his family, Lord God, but the ministry that you put in his hands.
Thank you, Father, Lord.
We thank you for the church of God is marching.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Shall march together. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we say amen.
Amen.
And Apostle Brooks, if you have any other comments, we want to yield the line back to you.
I would like to say thank you so much for the privilege and opportunity, God, to be used. And I'd ask him to keep me his humble servant, regardless of what my personal life is like. Let I always take a back step to what my spiritual life is. Because I will receive this year and take the authority that I know who I am in God. And it takes a backseat to nothing. This year I encourage everyone at Straightway to continue to fulfill your destiny. For we will be a church prepared for his ultimate return, that we'll do well in 2012. And I'm so glad that we have a God that has a God that loves us so much, that allows us through our temptations, through our trials, and through our fall downs to still say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. And I fail this time, but we fall down, we can get back up. Prophetess, I love you. I'll see you soon in the name of Jesus. And you continue to do what God would have you to do. Speak those words unencumbered. Let God speak to you and say it with courage and holy boldness like never before. For I believe this year will be the year of the saints. It's time for us to take back what the enemy has stolen, for us to receive the latter rain. And I claim joy and peace. In regards to the terrible things that we're going to see and that's going to transpire this year, the saints shall be set apart for God's work. I say it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I love you.
Amen. We receive that, Apostle. You have a great, blessed weekend and a supernatural Sunday. And we just thank you once again for yielding your time, your hour, and your talent to sow into God's people. God bless you and give your family our love.
You do the same. And Sunday we'll be honoring women at our church, and God bless you.
Amen. We may try to get by there, too.
I'll look forward to it. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
All right. Goodbye.
All right. Have a wonderful evening.
Thanks.
And I want to thank everybody once again for tuning in. And just know that God love you. Failure is not an option, and so do we. God bless you all.
to be.